It's kind of interesting, this sermon title, after what Carol said and what Brandon said as well. The sermon title today is, Are You Walking in Faith or Are You Walking in Fear? Does anyone remember that course? I tried to find it this morning but could not find it. Carol and I are going to look for it this week. But the course was, I'm walking in faith and victory, for the Lord my God is with me. Anybody remember that course? Oh, you guys. See you later, Carol. We prayed for Carol. We prayed for Carol to get her here, and then I had Dennis pray for her after she got here. Her back's really upset today. So I'm walking in faith and victory. I'm walking in faith and victory, for the Lord my God is with me. There's other words to it, but I don't know what all those other words are. Can't remember it, so we're going to have to find it. Remember the biblical definition of faith: acting on the Word of God. I believe it and I act upon it. In your daily life, in your walk with the Lord, are you professing faith? Profess means to declare openly, to lay claim to. If anyone was around you for a very long period of time, would they walk away thinking that you were a person that is professing their faith? If we use a compass as a reference, and you've heard Dennis share this in his CE class, which he calls faith school, that you've heard him say in faith school, faith is true north. Fear is true south. In other words, walking in fear is in the opposite direction of walking in faith. 365 times in the Bible it says, fear not. It is the most repeated phrase in the Bible once for every day of the year. Now the question is, why is this important? We serve a God that is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, and the Bible teaches us this truth over and over again, that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, but Satan is not all-knowing. He is not all-powerful, and he is not everywhere present. At times, he is seemingly all-knowing, seemingly all-powerful, and seemingly everywhere present, but he is not. So the question arises, how does he know where to attack me? How does Satan know where to attack you? How does Satan know where to attack me? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I'm going to move rapidly so we can move through this, but I think it's very important. Somebody needs to hear this message today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I love this, the way it's connected here. And having done all to stand, stand. When you have done everything that you can do to stand against the wiles of the devil, then you know what's next and what you need to do. You need to stand. Stand firm. Stand fast. Stand on the Word of God, knowing that God is your deliverer, that He is your supporter. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication to Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now verse 16 again. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you throw enough mud on the wall, something will eventually stick. And that's exactly what Satan does. He shoots darts. And where is he shooting those darts? He's shooting them at your mind. Question your faith. challenging your faith. Why are you in church? You don't deserve to be in church. You don't deserve to be saved. You don't deserve to be healed. You don't deserve to be forgiven. Look at all the things that you have done in your life, and why do you think that I or that God would ever save you? All those questions that he bombards your mind with is nothing but fiery darts of the wicked one that he shoots on your at your mind to see which one that you're going to grab hold of. So if you throw enough stuff on the wall, enough mud, something will eventually stick. Satan is a master of temptation. The darts of temptation are shot at your mind, and all he has to do is sit back and see which one that you're going to react to. So since Satan cannot read your mind because he is not all-knowing, he uses the process of elimination. This is exactly what he did against Jesus in the temptation of the wilderness. Satan will always tempt through three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All temptation will fall into one of these categories. I'm going to say it again, and we're going to look at the scripture, and I've always called it the mechanics of sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. In those three categories, he tempted Eve, and in those three categories, he tempted Jesus. And if he ever tempts you and you feel the temptation that he is tempting you with, it will fall into one of these three categories. Now look at the scripture. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John and chapter 2, we go down to verse 15. So 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, and it says what? Do not love the world or the things in the world. So that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of a God abides forever. So Eve was tempted. It was good to look upon. It was going to make her wise. You remember when she says, well, God said we can eat of every fruit, but we're not supposed to eat of this fruit because we'll die. What did Satan say? Surely you won't die. Surely you won't do it. You should want to do it. It's going to make you wise. So in Satan's toolbox of temptation, he uses the process of elimination. But there is also something else he uses. He cannot read your mind, so he listens to what you tell him. He listens to what you tell him. He can't read your mind. So what do the demons, and what does his people that alongside of him as other fallen angels do? They listen to what you say. They listen to what you are involved in. You think the smartphone is listening to you. And you've heard me tell that story. One time I was doing something at work and I was looking up something on the computer, and when I got home, Carol looked at her phone and it was bringing up information showing how you could order what I was looking for. Now, how did that cross from my phone to her phone when I wasn't even on the phone? I was on the computer, because they track you. The world is tracking you all the time. Well, the adversary tracks you as well. And what you tell him is where the areas that he knows that he can attack you in, because he sees that there is a weakness in your life in that area. So that's what he uses. Something else that he uses is that he listens to you. Turn with me to Job chapter 1 and verse 1. Go back to the book of Job. The book of Job is right before the book of Psalms. So Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. Verse 1 says this: There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. It doesn't say that Job was sinless, but that Job had his priorities straight in his life. But let's read on in verse 2. In verse 2 it says, And he had seven sons, three daughters were born to him, and also he had possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the east. Verse 4. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and would raise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus Job did regularly. Job just didn't pray for his children. Look at what detail that he went into to try to protect them. He says in verse 5, it may be that my sons have sinned. What does this tell you? What does this tell you? It tells me that Job was walking in fear because he was afraid that his sons would disobey God and they would be cursed by God because they would be disobedient to him. So he was walking in fear for his sons. And what did he do? He tried to do the offering and the sacrifice to make sure that if anything was done, that they were covered by the offering that he would do for them. Look at verse 5 again. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would raise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned. Not that they had sinned, but maybe they did. And cursed God in their hearts, and Job did regularly. He was afraid that his children had done something wrong. Why does God tell you over and over to have no fear? Why does he tell you 365 times, and I believe you could probably find more times than that he actually says that not to fear or to have a reference to not fearing? Because Satan can read fear like a newspaper. If you're walking in fear all the time, he sees that you're walking in that fear. What did we say the chorus that we were talking about earlier? That we need to walk in faith and victory because the Lord, my God, is with me. My God is my Savior. My God is my healer. My God is my provider. All the attributes of God should be professed and confessed in faith confessions out of my mouth. God, you are my healer. You are my deliverer. I am a child of God. I am loved because my God loves me. Amen. Those things should be coming out of our mouths rather than, oh, I wonder what the kids are doing. I'm so scared something's going to happen to them. I can give you an example. I worry about my grandkids. And my granddaughters, when you leave a stop sign, it goes all the way to the floor. And when you get to a stop sign, you don't slow down and let off the gas until you get there. And then it's on the brake. They scare me to death. I won't ride with either one of my granddaughters. I'm telling you, I will not ride with them because I'm sitting over there and I am a nervous wreck the whole time. So when Rachel would come to our house, they live in Oskaloosa. Not only am I worried about my grandkids, because my grandkids are so special to me, now I've got this great-granddaughter. She is the best, the greatest, the smartest, the cutest, all them attributes that you would like to give to her. And Rachel would always stay during deer season, you know when the rut is, in the month of November, and she would always stay till dusk. Right when it was starting to get dark, and then she would get Callie loaded up in the car and they would head to Oskaloosa. And I would just, why don't you leave a little bit early? Why don't you leave before it gets dark? There are so many deer between here and Oskaloosa. And I would worry and I would stew and I would fret. And because I said, when you get home, you give me a call. Well, how long are you going to do that before you say, you know what, I'm doing nothing but walking in fear. I need to give my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, I need to put them in the hands of the Lord. God cares more for my grandkids than I do. God loves my grandkids more than I do. And I know he loves my great-granddaughter a lot more than I could ever love them. Why do I know that? Because he created them and Jesus died for them. Every one of them. So when we start to learn to give things over to God and not walk in that fear, you know, you've heard it say, well, when you walk up to a strange dog, you know, don't act like you're afraid because they can smell fear. Let me tell you, Satan can smell fear. And when he has fear written all over your face that you're afraid of something, he can read you like a newspaper. He knows right where to go in and tempt you. So in Satan's toolbox, he uses the process number one of elimination, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Number two, he listens to what you tell him. Now slip over to Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Job chapter 3, verse 25. If you don't think I'm right about Job being afraid, listen to this scripture. Job chapter 3, verse 25. For the thing I greatly feared, the thing that he was the most afraid of, has come upon me, and when I dreaded it has happened, what I have dreaded has happened to me. Now let me ask you, who's the one that did it to him? Satan. God didn't do it. Satan is the tempter. Satan is the ones that brought this about. Now you can tell me all day long that God allowed it, and God does allow things in our life, but don't you ever blame God for evil in your life, because God is not evil. God is a God of love. So we need to be careful of that where we're pinning the tail on the donkey at. So the process, this is what he's got in his toolbox so far. The process of elimination, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Number two, he listens to what you tell him. Number three, he tries to instill fear. Remember the scripture in 1 Peter? He's a roaring lion seeking about who he may devour. Trying to get you to run in fear. Because if he knows what your fear is, then he can attack you with that fear. Why do you think in the world that we live in today, read the newspaper, look at the media, you're going to die of this virus, you're going to die of that virus, you don't get the shot, you don't get the mask, you can't do this, you can't do that, because of what? Fear. Are we as children of God, are we going to walk in fear, or are we going to walk in faith? And we make the decision that we as children of God, I am going to walk in faith. I don't care. I do not care. I am going to walk in faith. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world does. I don't care what the President of the United States says. I am going to walk in faith, believing in my Lord and my God, because my God is my healer, my God is my provider, and my God is my Savior. Somebody ought to say amen. So he tries to instill fear to see what area in your life that you will respond to. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're almost done. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, casting all your care. Are you good at that? Are you good at casting your care? Scripture tells us in Philippians to be anxious for nothing. What does the word anxious mean? It means to allow something to pull you apart. Or is there things that are pulling you apart because you're not willing or you can't let go of them? Satan will use that against you if you continue to hang on to that. He says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he what? He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But what does it say? Resist him steadfastly. How? In the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everyone's faced temptation. We all face temptation. I can walk through it. I can walk over it. So can you. Jesus walked through it and did not sin. So can you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast what? Your fears, your concerns, your worries. Giving them over to God. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Do not allow things to pull you apart. Give them over to God. And many times, brother and sister, we got to practice this. Because it's not something you can do and just walk away from it, especially if you have a tendency to be a worrier. And if you have a tendency to be a worrier, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by how? By the Word of God. My pulpit's moving. You need to be that much more in the Word of God in that situation that you're facing so you can walk in faith in that situation. 1 Peter 5:9 says to resist him. Who? Satan. Do not. How do we resist him? By faith. In your daily walk, you have a choice. Are you going to walk in faith or are you going to walk in fear? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What areas of your life do you really need to get the Word of God built up? One last scripture and we'll close. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Go back a few pages. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. I better get to the right one. 1 John 4:18 says this. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That's a probing question, isn't it? I want to read that again. I want to tell you what the Lord told me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And I was praying one night, and I asked the Lord what perfect love was. I said, Lord, what is perfect love? If perfect love casts out all fear, then what is perfect love? And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and that said that perfect love is perfect trust. Or complete trust is what he said. Complete trust. Do you completely trust God in all areas of your life? So many times we don't. We do partially, but we don't completely. Because if you don't trust God and walk in faith, you will walk in fear. There's only two choices in there. I'm going to walk in faith, or if I'm not walking in faith, I'm going to walk in fear. My health, my kids, my grandkids, the virus, the mask, the shots. You could be in a constant state of uproar of everything that is going on in our lives today, all the time. Maybe some of you are. But you need to be able to submit that to God, resist the adversary, and stay in faith. Stay in faith. There's a lot of things, you know, we get to the point where we just want to throw our hands up in the air and say, that's it. Stay in faith. We got to stay in faith. We're going to walk in faith. We're going to trust God, and we're going to believe God. This world promotes fear. But we walk by faith and not by sight. In his toolbox, what's he going to use? What's he going to bring against you? How is the adversary going to tempt you? He uses the process of elimination. I'll try this. If that dart don't work, I'll try this dart. If that doesn't work, I'll try this dart over here. Let me tell you, in the ministry, as a husband and wife, Satan attacked me, I don't know how, Carol and I, every which way he could. And when he found out it didn't work for me and it didn't work through Carol, then he went to the kids and he would try to take us down that way. Satan will do everything, but recognize where it is coming from. It is not God that is bringing against you. It is the adversary. And what does the scripture say? And what did we say all the time in faith school? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is when you need to instill and put to practice the authority that God has given you through your redeemed life in Jesus Christ that Dennis has been talking about, that I can take authority over that. The fear, I can take authority over it. Over sickness, I can take authority over it. Because that's what the Scripture says. That's not what Leo says. That's what the Scripture says. What areas in your life do you need to take authority over that you've been walking in fear and you need to renounce that fear in the name of the Lord Jesus and start walking in faith? Only you know that answer. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your time in this place. We thank you, Father, for your anointing and your presence today, that, Father, we would leave here today and we would have something stronger in our toolbox, that we know that we can walk by faith, we're not walking by sight, and that we can take authority over those things that are bothering us. Father, we rejoice in this time together today, and we thank you for your anointing, and we thank you for your word. We pray that, Lord, as we leave this place, that your traveling mercies would be upon each and every one of our lives. And Father, we pray that, Lord, that we would be stronger and get stronger and become stronger in your word, that we would even have a stronger walk of faith. We ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Love you all.